Lift your hands to heaven. Say, Lord, I'm all in. There was a time maybe I held back, but no more. I'm all yours. Reveal your perfect will, and I'll walk in it, not by my power, but by your word being revealed by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. That's what Brother Donnie was praying in tongues there at the altar. The Holy Spirit was urging us to all come all the way in. All the way in. We don't need to be on the outside looking in. We need to be on the inside praising the Lord. Amen. Oh, glory. I'm so thankful once again to be in the house of the Lord with each and every one of you. Brother Jason, would you put Romans 8:29 on the screen? You go ahead and open up your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. But I want to read Romans 8:29 to remind ourselves of who we are. You know, because you have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, there was a creation process that took place in your spirit. And look what it says right here. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. It was God's plan. It was your destiny in God's plan to come back to the image of Jesus. You know, Genesis 1:26 says that you were created in God's likeness, that you were created in his image. And then, of course, we know that Adam and Eve, the first Adam fell away. And then so Jesus come as the last Adam that you and I could have restored what we lost. And so that we could be conformed, we could be a like copy. We could be like Jesus in the earth, conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Jesus is our elder brother. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our soon coming King. He's our all in all, but he is our elder brother. So tonight I want us to look and go with me to John chapter 3. And I want us to here's what the Spirit of God spoke to me. I was in the shower and the Spirit of God said, do you know how to love people where they're at? And of course, immediately, no, I don't. Because I need to know how to love God's people where they're at. Not where I want them to be, but where they're at. And he said, if you'll follow my word tonight, he said, I'll teach you some things that you don't know. And he said, I'll bring an anointing on you and the people that if they'll respond to that, the things that's hindering them from stepping into that love, that yoke will be destroyed off. I want that, don't you? So you get in here with me and help me, and let's just come in agreement with the Word of God, and let's move to the next level in Jesus. Amen. All right, let's read for a text, if you would, John chapter 3. I want to start reading in verse 14. There's a lot here, but we'll, for sake of time, we'll start in John chapter 3, verse 14. If you're there, say amen. Jesus teaching here, and he said, and as the Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must. This is a Greek word, die. It means it's necessary as binding. It, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's life that's from the beginning to when time ends as we know it. For God, look what he said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth on him or believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loved the world. I want you to think about the world and God's love toward the world and how you and I were in the world at one time. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, on Jesus, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned, is judged, convicted already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is the judgment, the tribunal, if you would. This is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, should be chastised, should be manifested and corrected. Verse 21, but he that doeth trust, because the truth is about trust. And if you've got this truth in your life, you're going to trust the Lord to be able to do what he's promised to do. But he that doeth truth and has this trust, is what it's saying, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, that the works are wrought in the Lord, that we're walking in that same love that loved us while we were in the world. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. 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 Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for being here once again. Thank you for honoring the word. So aren't you glad that the devil has never been ahead of our God, ahead of your God? He cannot outsmart our Father. And God has had a plan from the foundation of the world for a Savior. And you and I, we realize the love that God had for us in the more that Jesus is manifested to us, the more that we get to know him, the more that we get to understand him. And so tonight I want you to think about this. If I'm going to be able to love people where they're at, I need to remember where I come from. If I remember where I'm come from, I'm not so quick to judge somebody else. I'm not so quick to put them in a box and try to say, well, you need to be doing this and you need to be doing that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's not my job. And so the Holy Spirit, he does it perfectly, and he does it in a way that always edifies and encourages people. So there were some things that had to happen in the progress of time until the dispensation of grace opened up to you and I. And so one of those things that had to happen, Jesus had to come, and he had to be born of a virgin. He had to be born of Mary. He had to be fully God, but yet fully human, fully flesh. And he walked in all points tempted as you and I are even to this day, yet he was without sin. And so he come to love me. He come to love you no matter where we're at. No matter what we're dealing with, he had a love that the Bible says is everlasting. He has a love that is encompassing. It'll cover. The Bible says that the love of God covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that encouraging tonight? And so what I need to do is I need to come back, and I need to see that love was able to reach me in my darkest moment of life. Love was able to reach me when I was my most hateful. Love was able to reach me when I was in the point where I didn't care about anybody or anything but myself. Come on, love reached me there. And so I had my back turned on God. I had my back turned on people. And all I was interested in was loving myself. But yet God met me where I was at. And so that's what the story is for you tonight as well. You know that God has reached out and he's done a work in your life. So let's look at this. He said there that God had a plan that when Jesus would be lifted up, he said in verse 15 that whosoever would believeth in him should not perish, but should come into eternal life, have life everlasting. It's from the point of the beginning to the vanishing point when time as we know it ceases. So how can they come to that revelation that God has an answer for them unless it's revealed through the church? God has chose to work through his church, and he has chose to let his church to be a vessel of love that can reveal people that God has something better. He has something different. And the only way that can be manifested in people's lives is that we love them where we're at. We're in that place where I see myself here. I'm in Jesus. I'm just one step away from where they're at. See, the one step was to the altar. That's all it was. And so I love them from the altar, and that altar is a place of sacrifice. That altar is a place of forgiveness. That altar is a place of cleansing. So I love them from here, but then I don't stay here. I step to where they're at. And I just allow the love of God to come out of my life, and I allow them to feel that there's hope, there's deliverance, there's victory, there's something that will pull them from where they were at to that place, same place of altar that I met a risen Savior at. This is our hope. This is our confidence. And so notice what he said. He said, you need to know that in verse 17, that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn, to convict, to put a judgment on them. But he sent Jesus that the world through him might be saved. So my whole mindset now needs to be, I'm saved by the grace of God. And that grace was so powerful in my life that the heavy weight of sin and all the guilt and the shame that I had in my life, that because of what Jesus done, it was wiped away. And it was put as far away from me as the east is from the west. It, Micah says, chapter 7, it was cast into the sea of forgetfulness. So when I see somebody, I want to be in that place, in that position where they don't feel that condemning spirit. Come on, there's a condemning spirit in the world. There's a spirit in the world that says, you're a failure, you're a shortcoming, you're a sinner, you're an adulterer, you're a fornicator, you're addicted to this, addicted to that. They know all of those things, but there's a Holy Spirit inside of you, inside the church of the living God, that says God doesn't want to condemn you. He doesn't want to convict you. He wants to save you. He wants to love you in the middle of your sin and give you a way, an option to be forgiven and to come out of that. Amen? That's our job. That's our role. So what God wants to do, he wants to help us. Because tonight, if we'd be honest with one another, if we would let the walls down just for a second, we've all got prejudices. We've all got mindsets and ideals. We've all got things that is acceptable or tolerable to us. And then there's other things that are not. And so if that person is in that situation, we pull away from them. Well, I'm not going to have anything to do with them because, you know, I'm pretty holy. Uh-oh. There's a group of people that Jesus dealt with, right? The scribes and the Pharisees, they thought they were pretty holy. So we don't think like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't act that way anymore because we've got this spirit of newness, this spirit that operates in forgiveness in our life. And we get the message to people. Now, did you notice what the Word of God said out of the mouth of Jesus? Look what he said in verse 18. He that believeth on him, on Jesus, is not condemned, is not convicted. But he that believeth not is condemned. They're judged, they're convicted already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So here's what the Holy Spirit wants to help you and I with tonight. He wants you and I to start being able to see people. He wants to take some scales off our eyes, off the way that we process information. And he wants us to stop putting people in categories of sin. See, the Bible's real clear. There's only one sin that sends you to hell. One. That one is if they don't believe in Jesus. And how can they believe in Jesus except there be a preacher? Come on, not talking about the person behind the pulpit. We're talking about the church. The church is the preacher. The church is the one that brings the gospel, the good news, the message, the saving grace of a loving God. Amen? And so what we're going to do, we're going to be able to look at a person. And as we look at them, we're going to see the anointing of God. See, inside their life, it may be hidden in their piles of hurt, heartache, all sorts of mistakes. But there is an anointing in them that God put in them from the foundation of the world to be something in these last days. And they can't see it. They don't understand it. And so what we do is we put all of those qualifications that the world wants to check off as a failure, as a defeat, as detrimental in their life. And we bring the truth of the Word of God, that Jesus is not interested in those things. He wants to help you with them. But those things will not limit you or keep you from being what God sent Jesus to die to make us to be. Right. So all of a sudden, we're in a place, in a position where we stop categorizing things and we start bringing people to a place in a position of hope. That's a place in a position of victory, because we get them to this altar. And when we get them to this altar, oh my, All of a sudden, that weight, those lies, everything that the stronghold that the devil has in their life, it's seen in the reality of a Jesus Christ that's on the right hand of the Father. A Jesus Christ that has the victory. Amen. And so we're able to love them the way that God loved them. We love them right where they're at. Now go with me to the 15th chapter of this great Gospel of John. And let's see some things. Go down to verse 17. John 15, 17. Let's look at the negative side and then we'll look at the positive side. Look at the hate here that Jesus is talking about. He says in verse 17, he said, "These things command you that you love one another." That's the positive. But then immediately look what he says. Verse 18, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." So you've got to realize, I've got to realize, I don't love somebody because they love me. God didn't love me because I loved him. No, I'm able to love him, the Bible says, because he first loved me. That's my victory. So all of a sudden, I'm in a place and a position where I get feelings out of the way. And if I get feelings out of the way, then now I've conquered emotions. And I'm not being led by the external, by the old nature, the old Adam. I'm being led by the Spirit of God in the new man, in the new creature. That I am, that you are. And so here we are. We're in this place. Okay, the world is going to hate me because it hates Jesus. It's going to hate this message because this message is contrary to the God of this world. Come on, 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, "There is a God of this world who blinds people." Jesus said, if they'll come to the light, their deeds will be manifest and they'll know where they're at and they'll know which way to turn. So we got to bring the light to them. Come on, you are a light bearer. That's who you are. You are a light bearer for the Lord Jesus Christ, and a light bearer always operates and works in love. So what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do tonight, he's wanting to show you how much love is possible by his Spirit being in your heart. His Spirit changing the way that you see things, the way that you compute, the way that you take information and process it. You're not going to process it according to the old way, but you're going to process it by the Spirit of God in your life. Now notice what happens here. Notice Jesus said there, he said three times the word hate is listed in that verse 18. Verse 19, he said, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, it doesn't love you." But he said in the last part of the verse, "But I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." So don't be sad, be glad. If the world hates you or hates the decisions you're making or hates the testimony that you're giving or hates the person that you're standing for, rejoice. Rejoice because you recognize and realize that you're on the Father's side. You're on the winning side. You're on the side that has eternal life. So what I've got to do is I can't let somebody's feelings or emotion, which are temporal and which are going to go to the earth, they're going to go away. Everything in this earth, everything that's of the old man, the nature of the fallen Adam, it's going to be burned up. That can't control you because you're born from above. You're born by the Holy Spirit. And so that helps me to be able to operate in this place of victory. Look what he says. He said in verse 20, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted, if they pursued after me with pressure," he said, "then know that they will also persecute or pursue after you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." So here's what Jesus is setting out, a barometer. He's setting out a template, if you would, so you can understand where people are at. And this template is something to protect yourself, but it's also to show you your greatest work and your greatest need in a harvest field. Because if they're talking about you, if they're saying all these things about you, if they're coming against you, guess what? They need a revelation of the Savior. They need to know that all the things that they're... Why are they talking against you? Why are they coming against you? Why are they coming against Jesus? Because they're serving the devil. They have not experienced that great grace. They have not experienced what forgiveness does. And don't that make your heart break? Because remember what it was like in our own life when we hadn't experienced that yet. It was a terrible load that we were carrying. And so this is keeping everything in perspective for us. He said in verse 21, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." This is why we're here. We're here to introduce them to the Godhead. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they would not have had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Now, verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father. So once again, Jesus is talking. He's up to six times in this discourse where he's teaching about talking about hate. And as he talks about it, that hate expands. And that's what happens when people start talking about sin and they start talking about people that are being dominated by sin and there's a separation there, then all of a sudden hate increases instead of love. Because, see, it's that judgmental spirit. It's that that work of the enemy that tries to get into people's lives. So Jesus is he's showing us that the more they hate you, the more they need you. Because the more they hate God, the more they need God. And so you and I, instead of letting it be personal toward us, we put it where it should be, that it's the devil that's doing all of this, and we don't let our own feelings get involved in it. We love them where they're at. We say, if God can love me when I was hateful, then he can love them, amen? And he can love them through me. See, we're talking about a supernatural anointing, Brother Duckett, that will lift us up from where we're at to a new level. God's wanting to bring us to a new place in him because there's people out there that are hurting terribly and they need somebody who can minister truth to them. Well, God's going to use us, amen? I believe that with all of my heart. Now drop down to verse 25. Seven times he mentions the word hate. Look at verse 25. But this cometh to pass that the world might be fulfilled that is written in their law. Look what it says. The last part of the verse, Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. Have you ever went and been in a store or been at some kind of function and you could just feel something? You know, there was somebody there that did not like the spirit that was in you because they had a spirit that wasn't kindred to your spirit. They had a spirit of this world, and the Holy Spirit in your spirit was rubbing them the wrong way. There was a great distinction there. There was a chasm there. There was a gap there. And so you may not even seen them yet, but you can feel it. And you knew it was there. Well, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He said, they hated me without a cause. So there are going to be people who are going to come against you and you're going to wonder why. And then immediately you're going to be reminded of what this word says. They hate you because they don't have the love of God. They don't have the ability to forgive yet. They don't have the ability to be forgiven. And so instead of you getting nervous or me getting nervous or anxious about it, all of a sudden that puts us in prayer mode. We're there in that situation, that function, whatever it may be going on, yet we can communicate with the Father and we can pray for them right in the midst of that. We don't say a word out loud, but we're talking to God in our spirit by the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, God may open up a door, an avenue where you get to minister to that person. Jesus said, if they can ever see the light, remember what we read in our text, if they can see the light, they can be reproved of their deeds. They can be seen and shown Jesus that there's an answer, that there's something better, there's a deliverance, there's a victory. I want that, don't you, with all of my heart. All right, so seven times, let's jump back in the first part of this chapter, but seven times, Jesus talks about hate. So the number seven is a number in the Bible that means complete. So I want you to know that the people in the world, they are full of complete hatred. I know that because I didn't love myself. I hated myself. You know what I'm saying? Because why else would we do things that would destroy ourselves if we didn't hate ourselves? Amen? Did you not do stuff counterproductive to life? I did. So that's what they're doing. So they have a complete hatred in our life. But let's look. In this same chapter here, Jesus mentions love eight times. Eight times. See, God always is ahead of the devil. He's always bigger. God has more love than the devil has hate. The number eight in Bible numerics, it means new beginnings. And that's what you and I are on a journey for. We're on a new journey in the Lord to be able to love like never before. Look at John 15 and verse 8, John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So if you and I, if we're hearing the teachings of the Lord, and that's what a disciple is just a pupil of Christ, we're going to bear fruit. What's the very first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Yes, Sister Michelle, love. It just is a byproduct of being born again. You didn't have to drum it up. I remember that when I had one of the altars experiences when Don and I first got saved and started going to church, you wanted to hug everybody. In the natural, I didn't want to hug anybody. I was standoffish and quiet and shy and all those things. But Brother Derek, you just wanted to grab somebody and hug their neck because you had a love in your heart. That's what we're talking about. Okay, look what he says, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, now I want you to get this in your heart. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, abide, live, expect ye in my love. Now, can you wrap your mind around this? Jesus just gave us the greatest revelation to where you and I can rest in Him like never before. Jesus said, from the Greek, this says, from the same degree, from the same level that God loved Him, Jesus loves us. Now wrap your mind around that just for a second. See, 1 John tells us that God doesn't love alone. God is love, right? So the God that doesn't just love, but the God is the source of all love, and His love is abundant. His love is enough to cover that multitude of sins that Peter wrote about that we talked about just a moment ago. And Jesus said that the same degree of that love that the Father loves Him, He loves me. He loves you. He loves the world. Oh my. No limits. So that person out there tonight that's sticking the needle in his vein, that person that is cursing Jesus and taking a drink, that person that is doing this and doing that and all of those things, God doesn't let those things change who He is and what He feels. God's a creative God. God loves. And so you and I, we're in that place where, wait a minute, we say, if Jesus loves me with the same love that the Father loves Him, that means that I'm emboldened, I'm empowered by that love to be able to love in that degree. You say, that's not possible. Oh, yes, it is. If I walk in the Spirit, if I will listen to the Holy Spirit in my spirit, then the source of that, it's not my own ability, it's not my own understanding, it's not even my own desire. It's the Holy Ghost in my spirit that is producing that love. Okay, notice what he says. Verse 10, he said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide, you shall live, expect in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So Jesus is saying, when all of a sudden, when we have a revelation of how much God loves us through the Son, and then we start realizing when He asked us to do something, and that commandment, the gospel commandment, is to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love as the Lord loved us. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, John 13, 34 and 35. And that, so that's the commandment. So when I realize that He asked me to do something and all I do is let the Word be in my life, that's it. I don't try to do it. I don't make myself do it. I just let the Word be. I abide in the Word and the Word abides in me. He's the vine and I'm the branch. So He flows into me, He flows into you, and He makes the impossible possible. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So let's think about this tonight. Every area in our life that I don't have fullness of joy, I need to come back and I need to say, Lord, show me something that you've wanted me to love. Show me somebody that needed love. Show me a direction in my life that maybe I haven't seen or I haven't understood, because in this area of my life, I don't have joy in the full. See, joy and the love is tied together because, like Sister Michelle said, the fruit of the Spirit, the number one is love. Number two is joy. So I'm just talking to you from my point of view, so don't get on the defense, okay? When I'm not loving people, I don't have any joy. I have an attitude. I get down in the mouth. I get down in my actions and all of these things because I'm starting to pull away from that vine that's trying to supply me, and I start looking to the old way. So he said he wanted me to have my joy that was full. So what I got to do, I got to come back and I say, well, now, Lord, this person has really hurt me. This person has done me wrong. And so I am not going to love them. Am I hurting that person? I'm telling God that my opinion and my ability to rebel is greater than his ability to give me the opportunity to love. He said, if you'll keep my commandment, you're going to abide in my love, and you're going to have joy that's full. Tonight, now don't get aggravated at me, but tonight, the Spirit of God wants to help us with some things that's keeping our joy from being full. We hold on to little things, and to you, it's not a little thing. Okay, but to God, it's a little thing. It's something that he can help us overcome just like that. I'm not trying to belittle what that person's done or what they've said, how they've attacked you. They have done wrong, there's no doubt. But you can't let what they've done determine your ability to love. Because the moment that you do that, the moment that I do that, we have cut off the power of the Spirit of God in our lives, and we're in a place where we may be full of joy in all of these other areas in our life, but this one area that we need to have success and have victory, we've cut God out of. And we may go to God in prayer. We may know that something's wrong, but we won't ever allow him to tell us the truth about that situation. So there we are. We're fruitful in this area, but over here it's a desert. Over here we keep going around and around the mountain. Here we're in a place of lack. I'm not talking about being able to do it on your own. I'm talking about supernaturally tonight, letting the Spirit of God empower you, embolden you, embolden me, empower me to be able to forgive. He can do it. Amen. All right. Look what he said, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, wait a minute. Jesus brought the revelation. He said that like the Father loved me, I love you. And now he's saying with that same revelation that we can love because he's put that seed in us. You don't have to do it on your own. He has sowed that in you. See, Jesus was the seed, the Word that was sowed into the earth. John 1:14 says that the Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, the Word come in a flesh body and done the will of God and brought all the promises and made them available to us. So what I want to do is I want to be in that place, in that position where I say, wait a minute, Jesus, I want to be honest with you tonight. I don't love them like you love me. To be honest with you, I'm wondering if I even do love them. That's not a bad confession. That's being honest with God and let him show us the truth about the situation. See, when we have an open dialogue with truth being there. Remember in John chapter 3, Jesus said there that he wanted to manifest the people's deeds. That word manifest there, it means to shine according to the light of the Word. He wants to shine the light of the Word on your situation and my situation. And the Word will always be the truth that makes us free. Oh, come on now. So what we want to do is want to say, Lord, I want you to show me the truth on this. I have so much hurt that all I can think about that person, all I can think about that situation is that hurt is turning into anger. And that anger, if we don't deal with it, it'll turn into hate. Galatians 5:20 talks about, well, Galatians 5:18, 19, and 20, on down through there, talks about the works of the flesh. Guess what the seventh work of the flesh is? Hatred. How many times was hatred mentioned? Seven times. But you and I, we don't have to have the work of the flesh. We can have instead the fruit of the Spirit love, the joy, the peace, all those things are available to us if we'll just be honest with God. Tonight, if you'll just tell the Lord, hey, this is what this person's done. This is what they've said. And maybe it's not just a person. Maybe it's a whole situation that's bigger than one person. Tonight's a night that we can receive the anointing to be able to love and go beyond that. I want that, don't you? All right. Mark, put that in your heart that you can love just the way that Jesus loves you. Verse 13, he said, greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So Jesus wants us to see that he laid down everything for us. And because he was willing to lay all those things down, we can make a draw. We can make a pull. We can make an avenue of success where we used to fail from what Jesus done. Because Jesus had the opportunity to hate, but hanging on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. The people that hurt you, they didn't know what they were doing. All they did too, the devil was using them. See, we're either used by God or we're used by the devil. There's only two sources. So anyway, in this set of scriptures here, the last time there in verse 17, Jesus said, these things I command you that you love one another. That's the eighth time that Jesus mentions love in this discourse. So God wants to give us a new beginning tonight. He wants to show us that his love is greater than any hatred of the enemy. So how do we do that? How do we get a hold of that? How do we work that in our life? Go with me to Romans chapter 5. I just want to hit this real lightly because we're going to minister on this next week to finish our series. But look at Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just think, I was once an enemy of God, but now Jesus, he has become my peacemaker. Glory. I've got peace with God. You've got peace with God. That means at one time I was God's enemy, but now I'm his friend. You're his friend. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. It's all about grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Verse 4, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. Here's why we came here. And hope, verse 5, maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, mark it down in your Bible, highlight it in your Bible out, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. So the Holy Spirit in your spirit, when you become born again, starts shedding abroad in your heart the love of God, that love that never fails, that love that covers a multitude of sins. In other words, you're in a situation where you know that the flesh would be hating, the flesh would be venting, the flesh would be taking advantage of, the flesh would be doing all these things, but all of a sudden, you can't do any of those things of the past because the love of God is just there. It just, you start seeing that person differently. You see them through the eyes of compassion. You see them by the power of Spirit. You recognize if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be where they were at. Can you imagine where they're at to be doing what they're doing? The devil has such a stronghold in their life. And they're on their way to judgment if they don't come to Jesus. Amen? And so, thank God Jesus has done took your judgment. He's took my judgment and we've been forgiven. And so I need to be in that place. Lord, just shed abroad. Just keep pouring out that love in my heart. Help me to receive it. And look what happens. It reminds us of verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. See, I knew what was right when I was a sinner, but I didn't have the strength to do what was right. I chose wrong. But while I was without any strength to choose what was right, while I was anti-God, when I was 180 degrees contrary to everything that God had, Jesus died for me. He gave me strength. So if he gave me strength to be saved, to be born again, he can give me strength to love the unlovable. And it causes me to see them like where I was at. They may not be meaning really to do what they're doing at all, but because they're without strength to make the right choice, to make the right decisions, because they don't have Jesus in their life, this is why they're doing what they're doing. So I can forgive them. I can let go of that, and I can get that power of the Spirit of God in my life. Amen? Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I want you to see something. This is Paul praying a prayer for the church at Philippi. Look at Philippians 1:8. Philippians 1:8. Thank you, Brother Jason, so much for your help. I appreciate it. Philippians 1:8. For God is my record. I love this. From the Greek, it says, God is witnessing for me. I want to be able to say that, don't you? Everything that I do, I want to be able to say, hey, God is witnessing for me. He's saying, I emboldened my child. I gave them the words. I gave them the ability. I gave them the unction. I gave them the desire. I want to be in that place where God is witnessing for me. For God is my record, how greatly I longed after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. All the compassion that Jesus had, Paul said he was operating in. I want to operate in that compassion, don't you? The bowels, that it's sympathy. It's understanding. God wants to know that he can empower us to be able to understand situations and circumstances where we can not be hindered and held back, and we can also help others. I'll just be honest with you now. There's some people in this service tonight. You have not went forward in the Lord in a long period of time. You're being held in a certain place. But tonight's a night that all that can be changed. If you'll just respond to this word. Verse 9. After this I pray. And this is what we're praying for all of us tonight. And this I pray, that your love. See, God sheds the love of himself in your heart, in my heart. But then it becomes our love. And we've got to make a choice what to do with it. And that your love may abound. From the Greek, this is saying to superabound. It's saying to be in excess where it's just unfathomable. We can have that much love. Because is the Spirit limited? No limits in God, right? So that Spirit of God is in you. So the love is not determined by God, is determined how much I let go through me. Amen. And this I pray, that your love may abound. It may be in excess. How? More and more. Greater and greater and greater and greater. See, we're changed from glory to glory to glory. Every time we look in the face of Jesus, we're changed. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now, these are two different Greek words here that's translated knowledge and judgment, and both of them mean a different form of discernment. Now, this is so important because you and I, we're supposed to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit is the discerning of spirits. And so you and I, we can't even be in the operation of being able to discern what's going on. Is this the human spirit or is this a demon spirit? Is this the human spirit or is this the Holy Spirit trying to do something? We can't even see that if we're not in the place of love. So see, all of a sudden, we've cut off a revelation that the Holy Ghost is wanting to bring in our life, and we're looking at the person, and we can't see the demon spirit that's working behind the situation. All we can see is their spirit, and we're mad. were aggravated at what they've done or what they've said. And so we can't abound in that. We can't let our love grow. So all of a sudden, God has so much, God's got so much more for us tonight, but we've got to look past the person. We've got to look through the eyes of Jesus and realize that I'm making that person bigger than my God. I'm letting what they've done or what they've said, I'm building them up so big, and I'm saying, God, I'll never get past that because you can't do it. Come on, we're reading the same Bible, right? That you may abound more and more in discerning of discernment. That's what it says from the Greek. Now, in other words, you see the person, you remember what they've done, what they've said. But all of a sudden, by the Holy Ghost, the love of God puts a compassion in you, and you look and you see that person and you realize what demon was working in their life to try to destroy not only them, but you. You realize that this is a twofold attack. See, but you're able to see it. You're able to discern it, and it doesn't stop you. Look what happens. Verse 10, that ye may approve, you're able to test. To see, this is like you would test gold or silver to see its purity. That you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. This word sincere means that you're able to judge things by the sunlight. S-O-N-L-I-G-H-T, the sunlight. That's available to us. We may be sincere. We can do that. So all of a sudden, the light of the Lord comes in our life because we believe on Jesus. We believe not just for salvation. We believe for victory and deliverance. We believe for progression and growth. We believe that we're climbing up higher and higher in Him. And the love of God is coming out more and more. And all of these things. And we have this place where we're able to discern the situation. It's power. Okay, in closing, go with me to the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's remind ourselves. We know this. This is some of the most powerful and quoted scriptures in all the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity, love, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So, see, this here's giving us a guideline to whether we're walking in love or not. It gives us a template for where we're at and where we need to be. Verse 10, love, it does not behave itself unseemly. This love, this charity of God, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Look at this. Love thinks no evil. Wow. But they've sinned and they need to be judged. Love thinks no evil. Thank you, Lord. You can help me. I can give you my thoughts, and you can take and sanctify them. You can run them over your altar, and then you can bring the truth back to me, because 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that you and I have the opportunity to have the mind of Christ. We can let that mind, Paul said, that was in Christ being us. Wow. Verse 6. Love, it rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Don't get mad at me. I'm not nitpicking. I'm just being honest. Don't you hate it when people contact you in the guise of a prayer request, but what they're really wanting to do is gossip? Oh, we sure need to pray for Brother Greg. Oh, I seen him at so-and-so. They don't want you to pray. They want to talk. That's not walking in love. And the same emphasis that you tried to put out in that will come back in your own life, because the Bible's real clear. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Love beareth all things. Oh, come on now. You say, I'm getting tired. I want to go home. I'm fixing to let you go, but I want you to be encouraged in that. The Word of God says that because you've got the love shed in your heart, that because Jesus loved you just the way that God loved Him, and that you can love one another in that same seed, that same power, that same Holy Spirit, you can bear all things. That means there's nothing that the devil can put on you that the Holy Ghost in you, revealing Jesus, cannot be carried. See, the Bible says in Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30 that we yoke up with Jesus. And when we yoke up with Him, He said He would what? He would help us carry all of those things. And while we're walking, He's talking to us. He's teaching us. He said that we would learn during the plowing process in this yoke fest. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. The Bible says that everything is but for a season. So tonight, the Spirit of God wants to encourage you and I, and He wants us to get out of this season. Time to move on. Lay those things down and come to the next phase, the next blessing, the next promise, the next revelation of glory that Jesus has for you, that He has for me. Let's go on. Let's let the past die in the past. You realize how many times God has worked a work in our life, and the Spirit of God will bring back those old feelings, those old emotions, and what we do is we breathe life into the past, and all of a sudden we speak it into our future, and it becomes a stronghold again. And that's why we're going through the same thing over and over and over. Verse 8, love never fails, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But you remember that love never fails. Love never fails. So you can't fail. If you don't give up on love, if I don't give up on love, nothing in your life will be a failure. The Bible can't lie. It's true. So what we've got to do tonight, we've got to be honest with the Lord, and we've got to take the things that look like they're failures, the things that look like that have won, the things that look like that it has superseded the Word of God, and we take it and we lay it on this altar. And we say, God, I'm giving You. See, we give Him all of our junk, and He gives us all of His best. So we give it to Him, and all of a sudden, the reality of what He's done for us, it takes over in our life. Let's reread in closing that verse in John chapter 3 one last time. Look what He said. You know it. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on Him, on Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name, believed on that name of the only begotten Son of God. So I got tonight, you and I, we're authorized to believe on the name. So that name is the name above all other names. So every hurt, every heartache, every bit of disappointment, every attack of the enemy, we believe. We say, Jesus, I believe that You're greater than this situation. I believe that You have that love is greater than that, and I'm going to let that operate in my life. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm speaking to some situations by the Spirit of God, and if you don't understand it or if it don't apply to you, just don't pay any attention. There's some things in your life tonight that you desperately want, and you're reaching out just as far as you can reach. You're leaning over the cliff, and you can almost touch them. But the thing that you're wanting the most is out of your reach because of what you're holding on in your past. So you can't reach any farther because your past has a hold on you. And the thing that you're wanting is being kept from you because of a situation. See, you think that what you're trying to grab a hold of and reach of, you think that that's the reason why you can't reach it is because of some things that's going on in their heart, in their life. That's not all it's about. It's about the past and about something else that's going on in your heart that's keeping you from reaching them. Now, this is important. So all we've got to do is say, Lord, I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm going to take you at your word and I'm going to receive it. Amen. I'll leave you with this thought. There was a psychiatrist. His name was George W. Crane. He was a Christian man, and they call him a psychiatrist. He was really a Christian counselor, more of a psychologist, if you would. But this lady come in, and she was wanting him to help her. So she spent some time with him, went through several sessions, and she finally revealed to him, and she said, "I hate with every fiber of my being my husband. I absolutely hate the man." Said, I want, there's things that I dream about at night that I want to do to him to get back at him from what he's done to me. She was so consumed by this, and he's listening to it. And so he said, okay, we're going to devise a plan that will help you to be able to get back at him. And everything, that all this energy that you're putting toward this, I'm going to show you how to focus it where you can get him in the place to receive everything that you're wanting to give him. See, she thinks, hey, I've got somebody that's on board with me. So he said, here's what you do. I think this was brilliant. He said, I want you to go home. And he said, I want you to love on him like you never loved on him before. I want you to tell him you love him. I want you to take him a glass of tea. I want you to do all of these things. And see, what we're going to do is we're going to get his heart softened towards you. And when his heart gets real soft, then you can tell him, I divorce you. And said, you can hurt him the most when you've got his heart where it's back soft, tender towards you. She said, Doc, you're a genius. I love that idea. That's what she done. She went and meant she went, she'd tell him she loved him and she'd do all these little things for him and all this stuff. And this went on for a great period of time. She didn't come back. 1 week turned into two, two turned into three. All of a sudden it had been 6 weeks. And she finally comes back to the office, to Dr. Crane's office. And he said, so how did my plan go? She said, I've done what you said. I've loved on him and loved on him and loved on him. He said, great. Now we're ready to hurt him the most. I'll contact the lawyer and we'll give him the divorce papers. She said, oh, no, you don't understand, Doc. I realized I really do love him. When I started acting it out by faith, you say, well, I can't do that with the person that hurting me in this situation. You can't do it in person, but you can do it in the spirit. Now, I'm speaking to you by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you some things tonight that will change everything. You don't have to see them. You can get alone with the Lord and you can start saying, Father, by faith, I love them. Look at their face and then look at the face of Jesus in the Spirit. You have the ability. We have the ability to look and to see in the Spirit. So you start looking in the Spirit and you start looking to Jesus. And every time you look at that person, if anger starts coming up, if hurt starts coming up, if you start remembering what they've done, look back to Jesus. Look to Jesus and look at him on the cross and look at what he done for you. And you look, and then you look back to them. And you let the Holy Ghost bring compassion. Let the Holy Ghost stir up love. And you start saying, I love them. Father, I want them forgiven. I don't want them to be controlled by the devil. I don't want them to go to hell. I want them to know what it's like to feel and find forgiveness. You start saying these things in the Spirit. What happens? All of a sudden, all the holy angels that's assigned to your life, they stand at attention. And they start working out situations and circumstances. And they go and they minister on your behalf in that situation. So I don't believe that. Is what you're doing working? No. So it's time to do something different. If you'll try what the devil has to say, what the world has to say, won't you try what God has to say? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I can barely contain myself for the excitement that I feel in my spirit tonight. I believe with all of my heart that there is an anointing here. There's a truth here that can change us, that can be that truth that can make us free, that we can go from this place where we've been held back. I believe that you're wanting to open up prison doors. I believe that this is the time for the captive to be set free. In the name of Jesus, speak to each one one of us. Show us the truth in our spirit. Don't let us think that this message is for somebody else, but help us to examine ourselves to see whether we be of the faith. Let us examine ourselves to see if we're walking and living in forgiveness. Let us examine ourselves as to whether we're loving the way that you told us that we could love. And let us play in a place of honesty and cast every care on you, Lord. Touch and draw right now. This is so important as we come into Thanksgiving and we come into the family time of the year. Lord, let some miracles take place in Jesus' name.